You're tuned in to the Vintage House Show, home to the original stories of the history of house music as told by the legends, pioneers, and icons. Hosted by Kevin Mega McFall, Lori Branch, and Lauren Lowry.
Welcome to the Vintage House Show on WNUR 89.3 FM and HD1. You can reach us all the time on vintagehouseshow.tv, vintagehouseshow.com, and vintagehouseshow.org. Today, we have two of the fantastic stars of phenomenal production taking place in Chicago until December the 30th, correct? December the 30th?
Yes.
Sugar Hill, the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker. Thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I will start with JD. JD, what's your last name again, JD?
Hart, H-A-R-T.
JD Hart. JD Hart is a Chicagoan. We love
him. Sure am.
So, and went to the Chicago High School for the Arts. Yes. And is now really just has quite a unique resume with performances with ballet, performances with Lil Kim. I saw in your bio. Did I see that? Is that correct?
Yes, it sure is. You
know, why does someone like me think it's a far stretch from Lil Kim to ballet? Is that am I wrong in that, or what do you think?
No, you're right. That's completely other sides of the world. Spectrum is like it. Night and day, hip hop and ballet, which is what the show is.
Right, there you go. So yeah, that just, it was amazing to me. And we also have, guys, I can't believe I'm screwing up the names, but Brenda Braxton?
Yes.
Brenda, yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. You are a native New Yorkian, correct? You're a native New Yorker.
From the Bronx.
In the Bronx, thank you. You gotta have that borough in there. Thank you so much. Which is the birthplace of hip hop, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Birthplace
of hip hop. So we're gonna start a little bit with your backgrounds. We like to begin with history. We are archivists and historians on this show. And so we'll begin with history. JD, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you were born. Give me some details about where you grew up in terms of, the communities, et cetera. And what brought you, what sort of things in Chicago sort of helped you get to the level where you are now?
Okay. So I was born actually, on the north side, all like Howard.
Oh, wow.
Almost like that, that part, Evanston Howard. I was actually born there at Evanston. Okay. I was at Evanston Hospital. But I grew up up north, but also out south at the same time because my grandmother lived in Beverly, Morgan Park area. And then I was up north at Rogers Park. But then we eventually moved out south as well. And then we lived in the Beverly Morgan Park area. And I mean, growing up, I never danced, but I was like a dancer as far as what was urban, like we were always teaching me how to Dougie, bopping to the left, bopping Chicago, right. Bopping, juke music, all the stuff. We were doing all the things, but I was never, doing what everybody was doing. I just was never actually a trained dancer. But right. When I went to high school, I actually auditioned for Shy Arts, but I actually wanted to do acting.
Okay.
So that's what happened is I wanted to be an actor. And then I also was like, let me just try to do the dance one as well. So I did the dance audition and the act audition. The act audition was like super great. I loved it. Then I did the dance audition. I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is hard. Like, it was because they were actually dancing. Like, I'm like, I want to just, do a little nay-nay. But I'm like, they were dancing. Like, they said, yeah, point your feet and da-da-da and turn and jump. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. So then I actually was like, let me do it because it was hard. That really exactly what happened because I was going to do acting, but I was like, I did really well in the audition. So I was like, if I would do acting for 4 years, I was like, I should probably just try to do the dance part in the dance department. So I did the dancing. And when I got there, it was extremely hard because everyone in my class was so good. They were all, and they were Black. So it was amazing to be like, me starting off dancing and seeing people that were good and Black.
Right.
And so right. It was just like, I'm seeing them and they can do ballet and modern and jazz and they can do all these styles and they were Black. And I was just like, wow. And it made me, and I'm someone who like feeds off of energy. So like mm-hmm. once I was like, okay, I'm the underdog here, but this underdog is like going to help me like really work hard. And I loved everyone in my class. And after that, I mean, I worked really hard. I danced there. I danced at Chicago Multicultural Dance Center, which is right next to our hotel, two blocks away. Yeah. And I danced at Ballet Chicago, danced at Joffrey, Deeply Rooted, Ruth Page. I was everywhere while I was still in high school. So we were still doing that. I would dance from until 5 p.m. at school. And then after school, I would dance until like 9 p.m. every day. And then I was at summer intensives and I went to San Francisco ballet school every summer from my sophomore year on to my senior year. And then after that, they asked me to stay for the year round program to be a trainee there. So I went to there and I trained at San Francisco Ballet School after high school. Then I got a job with Ballet Met in Columbus, Ohio. So then I danced with Ballet Met until literally three, four months ago. I decided to quit. I quit dancing with the company only because I wanted to do more opportunities to do a bunch of stuff at once. Because I love ballet, but I also love hip hop and I love jazz and I love mine. I love guitar. I love all the styles. And like doing one style was like, okay, it's fun, but I like to dip and dab in so many things. So that's why I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I auditioned for Little Kim's. I did that my first season of Ballet Met. They had this audition during the summer. And during the summertime is when ballet dancers have like our layoff season. Mm-hmm. So during that whole June, July, August, I have a layoff time. So I auditioned for Little Kim. She was having an open audition in Atlanta. And I did it. And they chose me and like five other boys and like six girls. Wow. And it was a huge audition because it was like the BET Hip Hop Awards. It was like this huge thing. And she was also doing that on top of having a tour with Fabolous, Rick Ross, Gucci Mane, Trina. It was like all the people. So I did that and was able to do that tour. Then I was asked from, because I'm signed with Clear Agency right now, Clear Talent. And they asked me like 2 years ago as well, if I could be under them, but I couldn't because I was with Ballet Met. So I couldn't commit to like stuff that was going to be in New York City or LA if I live in Columbus. So now that I moved to New York, now I can commit to LA and New York things. Okay. So that's why I'm doing a lot of things right now.
Thank you so much for all of being here.
And I'm also dancing with Anita Baker right now.
Anita Baker, see?
Oh, that's serious business right there. You got to bring up Anita Baker because she is just an icon, basically.
She's caught up in the rapture of love.
There you go. She's an icon. Yeah, thanks so much for dropping a lot of the Chicago dance companies. I think sometimes we don't realize that there is a very robust dance community in Chicago. And I think they've been having a lot more sort of events and performances throughout Chicago. I guess, you know, they're doing a lot with the city and just, I think there was, of course, there was the Year of Dance at one point. And so all of those, dance companies were getting a lot of love. And I think that's fantastic. So that's fantastic. Brenda from the Bronx, New York.
Yep.
I see that you have a tremendous resume from working throughout the country. And then certainly the accolades with your nonprofit, which, I'm so proud that you've decided to give back in unique ways. And you've been, awarded for that work as well. Tell me a little bit about, your early upbringing and so what catapulted you to dance and then to give back with your nonprofit.
Oh, well, let's see. So I started out with Ruth Williams Dance Studio in Harlem. Okay. So I was 4 years old and I was in Catholic school. And so around the eighth grade, it was time to go to high school. And my guidance counselor knew that I enjoyed dancing and he told me about Performing Arts High School. So I auditioned, and I didn't even tell my mother that I was going to audition. And I went and I auditioned for it and I got in and she didn't know until the acceptance letter came and said, congratulations, you've been accepted to the High School of Performing Arts. So I did that. And actually, I wanted to be a ballerina. I think I had mentioned this to JD the other day that I wanted to be a ballerina, but back then, the teachers said I did not have the body to be a ballerina. I would never be a ballerina. So in performing arts, you could either be in the ballet department or the modern department. And the modern department was Graham technique, Martha Graham technique. So I switched from the ballet department to the modern department. And I don't know what would have happened if I had stayed in the ballet department, but the modern department opened up a whole nother world for me, like Broadway and things like that. And like JD, after school, you would go and dance. You would dance before school, after school, during school. It was just dancing all the time. So I did that. And then about a year out of high school, I auditioned for my first Broadway show, which was the Black version of Guys and Dolls with Ken Page and Ernestine Jackson and a whole bunch of other people. And I got that. And from there on, I worked with Vinette Carroll, who did Your Arms Too Short to Box with God. And of course, then I did Cats on Broadway. I did Dreamgirls on Broadway. I did Jelly's Last Jam with Gregory Hines and Savion Glover, the original one. And then Smokey Joe's Cafe. And we actually started Smokey Joe's Cafe here in Chicago. We were at the, I think it was the St. George Theater.
Oh, yeah.
So there, yeah. And so, but back then it was called Baby That's Rock and Roll. And once we did it here, and then they moved it to Broadway, it became Smokey Joe's Cafe. And that's a show that I got my Tony nomination for and the Grammy,
Hey.
all of that. Yeah.
Congrats.
So
Yes.
that's where I started Leading Ladies Just for Teens. That's the nonprofit that I have for teenagers that come in on matinee days. And we'd sit in the lobby and we would talk about their dreams and goals and what they wanted to do. And in a perfect world, what would they want to do? And then I tried to hook them up with whatever that dream was, like to do an internship with whether it was a vet or, you know, whatever their dream was. And that's how Leading Ladies Just for Teens got started. And let me see, I did Chicago on Broadway. I did both the role of Velma Kelly. And I went back last year and did Mama Morton. So I'm one of the few who has gone back to do another role in the same Broadway show. So yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And then last year we were all supposed to be doing this Nutcracker. And it just kind of like poof, vanished. So yeah, we don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But JD, were you doing it then too? Were you called to do it then?
I actually wasn't.
Ah, okay. Yeah. It was a
Yeah.
bunch of us that were called then to do it. And then it kind of vanished. And then they called us back for this time. So yeah,
Well,
that's
so happy you all have come and spent time here in Chicago and really blessed us with your artistry. I think, the show is wonderful. It is beautiful. But before we talk about the show in a little bit more detail, I want to talk to you a little bit about sort of Black music. JD, you are from Chicago. What do you know about house music? Did you grow up with house music, dance music? People are, sort of just morphed into EDM. What did you know about house music as a Chicagoan, and was it something that you danced to?
Yeah, so actually, my family, I mean, everybody, my family's super, super big on house music. That's all they played every single Thanksgiving, Christmas, party, anytime. It was always house music playing from the older folk, you know, because from us, we would play whatever was going on right at that moment. But like for our parents and aunties and uncles, that was what all everybody played all day long. Just an ordinary day, that's all we hear. You already know.
It. That is what's up, dude. Yeah, I think about that. I'm probably, close to your parents' age, and I grew up with house music. My contemporaries were creating the music form, in basements and small clubs here. And so, yeah, there's a huge contingency of both Black, white, all nationalities that just listen to house music day and night, and doesn't happen everywhere in the country. And of course, we listen to hip hop. Gospel is very big, but house music is just sort of a mainstay in Chicago. And we created this show to make sure and ensure that the pioneers of the music form will continuously being awarded their flowers. So many people across the globe think it was birthed some in other places. But in Chicago, it's a big deal, and we love the
Oh, yeah.
people, the music, and things like that. But was there a, so, you know, what I would think about sort of, you know, your generation is that there weren't like a lot of parties and things like that where you went and they were like playing house music. Were you more into hip hop or like what were sort of the young people in your school? If there was a party, what would the music be? What would you be listening to?
You know, it kind of changed because I would say for house music, it wasn't like my friends that was playing that. It was every time if it was house music, it was parties and events, family events. It was like mainly family type of parties. And then when I was growing up, if it was friends, it would be like, you know, juke music. I feel like that's what it was. And then when I got older, like in high school, then it was like it was hip hop. So like before growing up, it was always I feel like juke music. Now shake, now bounce, now ball, now draw, now throw, you know.
Exactly. Which, you know, I think, you know, house music, house heads, we consider that in sort of an offshoot of house music a bit, you know what I
Right.
mean? It's just
Yeah,
fast.
literally.
And the footwork is, you know, a part of
Footwork.
that, which is also a sort of a dance. There's a gentleman named Rennie Harris who has, you know, sort of taught, I guess, traveled the world talking about house music and the history of house music. Well, he talks about hip hop dance and house dance. So he's sort of a scholar who talks about that. So I always wondered, I think he's out of Philadelphia or something, but he talks in college, talks at colleges in different places all over the country. So I thought kind of interesting guy. Didn't know if you all have heard of Rennie Harris. Anyone of you all heard of Rennie Harris? Well, there you
No.
go. Interesting. So, Brenda, talk to me a little bit about sort of your introduction to music as a young person and what were you listening to in the Bronx? And did house music or dance music, was that a part of your childhood or your, you know, sort of your young life?
Oh God, no, I am so much older than both of you. I'm still with R&B and
That's right.
you know, I'm real old school. I mean, I would name some people that poor JD would be like, what? Who? Like little Anthony and the Imperials and folks like that, you know. But I grew up with serious Luther and folks like that. You know what I mean? Luther and of course LaBelle before it was Patti LaBelle, and so that's what I grew up with. And as a child, Nancy Wilson and Dinah Washington and those people were my people. That's what I listened. I remember my mom and my dad. That's all they played was Dinah Washington and you know Etta James and those types of people. It was all that kind of. So it's a little different than the house music. I'm probably old enough to be JD's grandmother.
Listen. I, you know, again, I'm sort of in that bridge too. I mean, I was all about R&B back in the day. We were listening to Prince, we were listening to a lot of things. But by the time I got to college, hip hop had really blown up, and then house music had really blown up in Chicago. So it was sort of a mixture of all those different things, which house music combines all those music forms with more of
It
the electronica, you know. So the different beat machines that came out, that's what sort of informed, you know, sort of house music. And
but
but.
the interesting thing is, you know, I listen to some of that, and you know, you hear the sampling of songs from my generation. And people are saying, man, that's a great beat that you came up with. And it's like, no, they didn't come up with that. That was on the song, so and so and so and so. And they're like, really? Oh, wow. I need to go listen to the original version of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
Everybody samples now. Oh, it
everybody
is samples.
samples. Yeah.
No, the great thing about that is that we really preserve in that with hip hop and house music using sampling and using these fantastic funk and disco and all these other fantastic black music forms, we've preserved the music. You know, we've really brought the
As
music
long as they
forward.
know the history of it, you know what I
Right,
mean?
exactly.
As long as they do go, oh, that was from so and so and so, you know?
People are learning. I think young people are learning, even though sometimes they're not given the attribution they should. Eventually, they'll be like, oh, wait a minute, somebody else created this 50 years ago, and we're just sort of learning about that. So that is fantastic. So the Sugar Hill, the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker, I mean, the music is wonderful. The dancing is fantastic. You know, I'm going to read one of the quick quotes from the Sun-Times said it was an extraordinary, superbly jazz take on a holiday classic. What do you think when you hear that? How proud of you of the work that you all have done on this production?
But it's so funny. We were just talking about that, right?
Yeah.
We were all together last night and we were talking about it. And even the day before yesterday, backstage, I think it was JD and Morgan. And we were like, yes. Wow, this is a world premiere that we are a part of. That's mm-hmm. our music, our folks dancing. And, you know, it's amazing. It's just... Even for me, and I've been around the world, and if you want to look to a song, but to be a part of this, we're it. We set the standard of this show.
We do,
you know, with our music and different ages and different nationalities, and it's amazing. I'm so glad we did finally get to do it, to perform it. You know?
JD, your thoughts on sort of have you seen some of the opinions of the show out there? Some of the different accolades you've been.
Yeah, I have. I've seen a lot of them, and I think that is super spot on. It's super, super, super spot on. Everything that they're saying is correct. It's like a big jazzy version of the classical Nutcracker, but mm-hmm. I could call it like the colored version, the black version. We are killing it.
The flavored version.
I mean, you know, people would say that the other Nutcracker, like I've done the classical Nutcracker so many times, over 500, 600 times, and people come and a lot of people tell me how bored they are, mm-hmm. but not one time has someone told me they were bored with this show.
Yeah,
not exactly. One time. You stay entertained. Exactly. It's so much to be entertained by.
And to be represented in this way is just, it's wonderful. You know, Ellington Strayhorn's music that lives mm-hmm. on no matter what, but now it has a whole nother way of living on. You know,
right.
The key is that this is sort of, again, illuminating that big band jazz, you know, infused with some funk, infused with some hip hop, you know, all these different things sort of come together in this show that really elevates, you know, sort of, you know, black creativity, which is so fantastic. So when you learned about this show, you know, what did you, when you thought about sort of, you know, I'm going to sort of be a part of this fantastic production, you know, what did you think you might bring to the show that they may not have gotten if they had hired somebody else? What in your dance and what you do, what were you bringing to it that was unlike anything else that anyone could have presented?
I for me personally, I feel like I bring truly old school flavor, like for a lack of words, pulled upness. You know what I mean? I bring that old school Lena Horne, Eartha Kitt, Josephine Baker kind of flavor to it, because I'm not really dancing, which. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank God. Only because these children are dancing, but right. I think I bring something to it that only someone with this kind of age and wisdom can bring. You know what I mean?
My sophistication to sort of what's going on there. Yeah. Exactly. So definitely you elevate that in that way. And sort of your presence sort of brings just really, I think, just adds a cachet to the dance and everything else that's going around it. Because what you do is still dance. I mean, to me, you have a flow. There's something about you that sort of brings it to this. It's the next level, you know, for sure.
Her presence. JD,
go ahead.
Yeah. It's her presence. But I would say I honestly feel as if I can be in any of the roles. Absolutely. I feel like if I wanted, if I could or if I was, I could do the roles, because I feel as if the show really is a lot of me in one, like what I've done my whole life, like what I've been training in and what I've been about is this show. That it's really crazy. Like when my agent sent me this and was like, sounds like you, just sounds like you. And it literally is. And even if I don't do certain things, like when I look at other people, I feel like I live through them because I feel like I literally would do it if I was to.
Yeah. Watching rehearsals and watching all of you in rehearsals, I remember when I did that. You know what I mean? And so I don't have to do it now, but it's still in my body and I am doing it with you as you're doing it because that's what I grew up with. You know, like we said, you dance 24/7 and that's what I grew up with, you know, maybe not the hip hop, but the ballet and the modern and
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the reviews said it's sort of boundless joy and optimism inside of that show, which I thought is a great, I mean, that's a very rare, you know, sort of review of a place like boundless joy. You know, that's kind of really interesting. Mm-hmm. And we equate that, you know, I equate that with house music. House music is really all about love. It's really a music of inclusion. It was birthed by sort of Black, mainly gay population in Chicago, really brought the music to the next level. And so, of course, everyone just wanted to be accepted, wanted to be themselves and party and dance and have a good time. Yeah. And that's what this show sort of brings. It's like a party. It's like a big, fat party the whole time, but within the elegant way. How would you describe the show to someone to make them come check it out?
Say that again?
I said, how would you describe the show to someone to encourage them to check out the show? And we'll start with you, Brenda.
Okay. I would describe it as a step back in history, yet very much present.
Yes.
Because music is history. And the hip hop and what John Boots has done with the four gentlemen that are in the show as well. And with the flavor that JD and the other dancers bring when they do, I mean, they've got the jitterbug, they've got all of that, you know what I mean? So it balances everything out. There's a little history, there's a little now, there's a little future, you know, because it also leaves you with, oh, wow, I can come out of myself, because that's basically what it is. I start out as Mama Stahl, but basically Mother Sugar is Mama Stahl who has let go of all of her inhibitions. You know what I mean? So everyone can do that. You can find your alter ego if you want to, and then come back and then go back and, you know.
Yeah, it shows many styles, like many sides of yourself.
Absolutely. I would say,
like, it's so versatile.
Yeah.
If you want to see something that has hip hop, ballet,
something for everyone.
Something for everybody. Everyone would love to see this show. You can relate. Not, it's relatable.
To a level that is up here. You up know what here. I mean?
It's not at all. Here. Yeah.
All of it it's is up here.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. The work is so clear that it is elevated. Yeah. It is top of the line. I think everyone recognizes that everyone on that stage, you know, is, you know, the best in whatever it is they do.
Absolutely. It looks
professional.
So wonderful. Yeah. So professional.
And it's interesting. I was talking to Josh, who was the director / choreographer supervisor. And he was saying that was one of the things that he wanted to do. He wanted everyone to do what they did best as part of the choreography that's in this show. And I think he has accomplished that. You know what I mean? Every ballerina that he has choreographed for, he said, he asked them, what do you like doing? What do you think you look good at doing? And that he allowed them to do that. And then he added his own to it, which is very special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wanted people to shine. He wanted people to shine doing the best that they do. So
when you all rehearsed, was the full orchestra behind you? Did you have that band behind you a lot? Or did you get there and all of a sudden, here's this beautiful band that's just on fire back there?
Well, we start out with a piano and then they add the drums and the upright bass. And that's for most of the rehearsal. And maybe when did the band come in? Like a week before?
A week before. They came in a week before. They came when we were teching. Before we got to Chicago, like we were
right, so we're still teching kind of in the studio.
Yeah, we were having teching band rehearsal.
Yeah, yeah, And that's always the best time, even for me, for Broadway shows, like we call it the sits probe, where it's the first time you get to hear the music with the full band. And it's right. always just amazing. And we've got some musicians that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
They just were on fire. I mean, it was just amazing to start off with them. And I think sometimes, I feel like sometimes when you infuse, so many different things together, some people don't get it all the time. So the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker, there's so many jazz enthusiasts in Chicago, for sure. Like people love jazz here. There needs to be more jazz, everything. Yeah, sort of all things sort of elevate in terms of jazz clubs. New York always stays steady with all the genres, and you can hear everything everywhere. Chicago kind of things kind of ebb and flow. But Chicago loves jazz. They support jazz a lot. And I'm not sure when some of the marketing really elevates that there is a big band in this throughout this entire show. Yeah. Playing the great music forms and artists. And so I definitely want the audience that hears this podcast and radio show to know that you have just a few days to experience this fantastic music, which is then brought to the next level with the dance and the story of the Nutcracker.
But the story itself is different because it takes place in Harlem. You know what I mean? And so while it is loosely the Nutcracker, that whole story of the Nutcracker, it's brought a whole nother flavor to it because it's brought it down even to our level of, wow, that's Harlem. I know exactly what was going on in the 30s, or that's where the jazz was. It's so relatable for a whole new generation of Nutcrackers.
It really is just, it is a different story. It just brought together in a different way, illuminated in a different way. But all those people, there's people who like that traditional Nutcracker. Not me. But I enjoyed your fantastic production. I thought this was unbelievable and just so joyous and just so fun. I think this is a fun show. And it really is like you're so glued to every performance. You just want to, you want to leap up and just clap, from every sort of different part of the show. And I think, it's great that you're here. And I'm hoping a lot of people sort of recognize how different and special this is and run to the Auditorium Theater. And so talk to me a little bit quickly. You are there until December the 30th. So what are you on stage today? Give me the next few shows that folks can go to and check out.
Well, it's Wednesday through Saturday and only matinees. So 2 o'clock shows.
The 2 o'clock show tomorrow.
It's only four left.
Only four left. People have to get there. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Got it. Well, guys, how can folks reach out to you all? Talk to me now. We'll throw in the back how to get your tickets to the show. But if folks want to know what you all are doing with your nonprofit, or Chicagoans want to know how to support you, JD, Brenda, how would we find you? Social media, websites, give us the details.
Oh, okay. All right, so they can get me. It's Pause by B. Braxton. That's a whole nother story. Yes, for women of a certain age. But it's Pause, P-A-U-S-E, by B. Braxton at Gmail. That's my email address. And then that's what I am on social media as well. But on Instagram, it's Pause by B. Braxton _. That's the one that I usually use. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay. And then for me, it is Instagram. It is at Jonathan Darcell. That is JD. J-O-H-N. J-O-H-N. Darcell. That is my Instagram. Yes.
That is fantastic. And so again, everyone, Sugar Hill, the Ellington Strayhorn Nutcracker, is in the city of Chicago, right downtown at the Auditorium Theater, right on Ida B. Wells Drive and Michigan Avenue. For the next 4 days. So please check them out. Please order your tickets immediately. Just go down to the show and buy those tickets, right at Will Call or right at the the box office. They're happy to help you, number one. And then number two, let's support these fantastic Black artists. You know where to reach out to them. And, you know, we're going to be following everything that you do. So keep us posted on it. Okay, guys?
Yes.
And that's another thing too. You know, they say it's the Black version of the Nutcracker, but we have Latinas, we have Asian,
Asians.
Have, so it's
even
it's,
we even have white. We have everybody.
We have white.
We have everyone. We have Caucasian. We have everybody.
Caucasians.
It's multicultural production, and that's impressive. It wasn't again. You know, you don't know that. You don't think that's the case because you hear, you know, sort of the jazz thing, but. This is a very multicultural production and really features so many, you know, great art forms, dance forms, and so many people are allowed to shine in this production. I really feel like, you know, everyone gets a lot of love, you know, at the end, you know, we want to jump up for everybody, you know, not just the main character, everyone, all the dancers are so fantastic. And of course the band is wonderful. So we will get out there and check it out. I've seen the show. Please check it out. It is wonderful. You will not regret it.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you all so much for being on the show. This is the Vintage House Show on WNUR 89.3 FM. Check out vintagehouseshow.tv or vintagehouseshow.com for all of our podcasts. Thanks again. Thank you all so much. Have a great production tomorrow. Enjoy your day today and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage House Show podcast. Please subscribe and share and check us out live WNUR 89.3 FM Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.